Hello. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Jennifer Coney, and I'm an artist, a recently retired supervisor for Hayward Area Recreation and Park District, and your Board of Trustees Vice President, and a climate activist. There you go. Thanks. I am honored, and I loved that Reverend Maria Christina asked me to speak about why I do climate activism. I often speak to people about what climate change is and how it is impacting our environment and our future as humans living on this planet. I speak about what are the causes and what impacts are changeable at this point of time. These, by the way, will be covered in the presentation that Claudia and I will be doing for our Earth Day celebration right here in the sanctuary after church. And it's also what we presented recently at the Middlebury Institute for International Studies in Monterey last week. But you'll see that when you come to our presentation. But it's the why that intrigues me the most as an artist, because that question sheds light on the very nature of inspiration itself. It ultimately comes to what it feels like to be compelled, what triggers inspired action, and what it will take to transform our hearts and our world to create a more livable, more sustainable, and more just world, which brings us right here to this church and how I see climate action as an extension of my spiritual work. In reflecting on what the source of inspiration for my climate actions, I've come to the conclusion that it starts with love, and then it includes a moment of shock or shattering, and then emerges into an action, a craving, a passion to respond. A craving and a passion to respond that doesn't go away. It turns into a fuel, a fever of sorts, a feeling of being compelled to do whatever it is in my power to do. I am drawn, virtually mandated by this feeling, this spirit, to keep pressing on. Now, many of you may have heard my climate activism story, how a bureaucrat cries and begins painting again. And if you haven't heard that story, you got to come to the presentation. It was then that I found a voice I didn't know I had, a voice that compels me to speak to others and to get information out to people that need to know, a voice that has a strong, clear tone that comes from knowing and a commitment to something bigger. Reverend Maria Christina hears the difference in my tone of voice when I get to that zone. She's the one who noticed it for the first time in me and reflected it back to me so I can see it and notice it in myself. I've seen that strong voice emerge when I'm speaking in peace and justice action team meetings sometimes, or when I'm speaking for animal rights at the hard board meeting. That voice is something that intrigues me. I see it as an indicator that my heart has been touched deeply, that my core and my spirit have been activated, and that I'm compelled to act. In short, I become inspired. Why does this happen? I go back to my love, shock, compelled action theory. All I know with me is that it started with my deep, deep love for the Hayward shoreline as a healing place, a sanctuary for me, and as a refuge in many senses of the word. It is and was important to me. I was and am connected to that place in a very deep way. It is near and dear to my heart. So when I was working on sea level rise impact studies for my job and starting getting the impact reports, the maps, I broke. It touched me. My heart was broken. That's where the crying came in. Knowing what the impacts would be and what it would mean to the shoreline, my shoreline, to the habitat, and to the people living around the shoreline and in this area. Tears were the sign, and compelled action was the result. Knowing resulted in compelled action to do whatever was in my power to do to get the word out and to influence change while there was time. It is really a story of transformation and opening and deeper understanding of my place, my role, and my responsibility. But it's not an obligation, though. It's more like a calling. It's more like connecting to an understanding of the interconnectedness of all beings and that deep ecology that Reverend Maria Christina referenced last week. What I also find intriguing is that it opened up my intuitive art heart again, and I began painting with a purpose, with an energy that was beyond my own limitations. I was compelled and still am to make the changes that I see are possible. So I think this loving to getting woke to taking compelled action isn't limited to us in relationship to the world or to the climate. I think it is also may apply to how we transform our relationships with each other as we look to dismantle racism and other forms of oppression. All I can really know is that it starts with love, and it transforms your heart, and who knows how far the impact will go from there. So now, as round two, I'm going to invite Claudia McDonough up. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My name is Claudia McDonough, and I am also honored to speak on pursuing environmental justice as a spiritual practice. In my role as a fifth grade teacher, my day job, I find a fortuitous overlap between my academic responsibility to teach students to be informed and constructively engaged members of society and my moral or spiritual responsibility to inspire them to have confidence in themselves and faith in the power of goodness to sculpt a brighter, more sustainable future. When I teach my students about Martin Luther King Jr. and Rosa Parks, and the ever-unfolding quest for social justice, there is also a spiritual lesson in that, too, that though terribly unjust things have happened and continue to happen, humans can and do succeed in creating progress, learning from the past, and creating workable solutions to even the most enormous problems, such as gun violence, poverty, and climate change. If you visit the homepage of the San Lorenzo School District, it states that our vision is that, as a result of their education, all students will become compassionate, collaborative, and creative problem solvers who are resilient, well-informed, civically engaged, advocates for equity and social justice. So it's my job description to empower well-informed, civically engaged advocates for equity and social justice. In addition, the wonderful California Parent Teachers Association, or PTA, has written a resolution a couple years back urging school districts to educate students on climate and energy literacy and human sustainability. So again, it's in my job description to teach climate change solutions. So we study climate change, focusing on solutions, and some of my students will take action and petition our school board to write a resolution calling for legislation that will reduce greenhouse gases and begin to curb climate change. We're going to be doing that in a couple of weeks. I think we have a good chance of convincing them because it's in their mandate, too, to protect future generations. As an educator, I seek to cultivate faith in the future, in the triumph of wisdom over ignorance, caring and compassion over greed and short-sightedness, and even life over death. Advocating for climate justice is one of my top spiritual practices. Whether it involves engaging my fifth graders or volunteering for Citizens Climate Lobby as a chapter leader, the time I spend learning, teaching, spreading hope, and promoting sustainability uplifts me. Who doesn't enjoy sharing good news? Focusing on paths to climate sanity and gathering momentum for climate legislation that can hasten the transition to a clean, green, global economy gives me tremendous joy. It seems to me that focusing on and envisioning the progress we wish to see in the world is both worthwhile work and a powerful way to play. My father, Jim Black, one of my forever friends, was an art professor at Cal State East Bay, an artist like Jennifer, and he encouraged his students to be sure to find ways to do what you love. Each person's passion looks different in practice, and there is likely to be a fortuitous overlap between the things that we love to do and the service we feel called to offer. As climate activists, we can cultivate hope because solutions are everywhere. We can also build and cultivate common ground with people who are not yet active in confronting this challenge. I would encourage anyone to seek that fortuitous overlap where we fulfill our responsibility to be civically engaged and simultaneously get to experience the joy of spreading good news, inspiration, and hope for a brighter tomorrow. Thank you.